You know, in these series of studies that we've been doing, way back in January, when I started looking at something quickened to me about life in Eden and life in heaven. And they are very identical. You know what God, because it was God's intentions. God originally, we set up Eden. It was set up to how He expected man to operate and live, and with all the blessings that went with it. And obviously heaven is going to be the same, because that's what we are going to. That's the hope we have, that we're going to heaven. But in between, the blessing was hijacked. Adam lost it, as you know, he sinned. And they were cast out of the garden. You know, at a point in time in history, Jesus came. And part of his coming was to restore what was lost in Eden and restore it back to the church in preparation for heaven. Now, we've gone through a various number of things looking at what was in Eden and what is being restored to the church. But I want to look at the final one. Certainly it's the final one of the series that I'm going to be doing. And in order to get an understanding of where we're going this morning, I want us to read from Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read just three verses. Verses 26, 27 and 28. You'll know these verses. We've quoted them frequently during the series of studies we've been doing. Genesis 1 verse 26 says this: Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What we're going to look at today, and to wrap up this series on the fullness of the Eden blessing, is the authority and dominion that God gave to man. Now, we read in those verses that God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then God said to them, in verse 28, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish, over the birds, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, in several of the Sunday morning studies that we've been doing on this, we've seen that Adam was created in God's likeness. He was created in the same image and likeness of God. We also noted, last time, that Adam was intended to function exactly the same way that God functions. We read from Genesis 2 verse 7 where it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And one of the things we did say is that the old Jewish sages, in translating that verse, said that man became a speaking spirit. You know, with the ability to function as God did. Remember how God functioned? It says, God said, let this happen, and it happened. You know, and God said it. God said me. You read it several times through Genesis 1. And God operates by using his word. And that's how man was intended to operate and function. just the same way. And here, our text shows that God intended his creation, his man that he made, to be in authority, to have dominion. Yes, God created man as, perhaps don't like to say this or to agree to it, but God made man as an exact duplication of himself. He was almost like God in the earth. God needed a man in the earth, and he created Adam. And he gave Adam all the authority and dominion to rule and reign in the earth. He was given to increase and to abound in all things. We see that in verse 28. He was to be fruitful and multiply. He was to subdue the earth. He was to have dominion over the creatures, the fish, the birds, every living thing that moves. God gave him the plants for resources, for meat, for food. He had seed to sow. He was created to be an achiever and a conqueror. And man in the garden fully operated in that position until we get to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, I said we've read this before, but let me just read it to you again. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now last time we read this verse in our last study, and one of the things that we did note, that Satan's primary attack against you and me is not to tempt us to necessarily do things. Satan's primary attack, his first line of attack, is against God's word in you. When we looked at that parable, if you remember the parable of the sower, where Jesus said that immediately the seed is sown or the word is given, the birds of the air come and snatch it and take it away, lest the person hearing believes and is saved. Satan's first attack is to snatch the word of God away from you. And he does that by various means. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but if you want to go to the website, you can download the last session that we looked at and listen to it there. The Satan's primary attack is against the word of God in you. And he sowed seeds of doubt and no confidence in the hearts of Adam and Eve. Has God said? God didn't really, that's what he's saying, God didn't really mean what he said when he said you were going to die. He knew that you'd be like him, knowing good and evil. The problem with what the serpent said to Eve there is, one, you will be like God. Well, they were already created like God. They already had the ability to function and operate the same as God. But he came against God's word. He came against what God had said. So they had no confidence in God, no confidence in his word. And that very act of listening to what the devil said or the serpent said, yielding to his words, what they actually did in reality was they surrendered their authority to the serpent. Now the one who was supposed to be the subduer was in subjection. The one who was supposed to rule and reign was under authority. I want to help you this morning and say something to you which I want you to think about. Satan has no authority of his own. In fact, he's got no, listen to the words carefully, he has no legal right to function in the earth. You know, we've been around in the houses, as you know, and I don't know whether you've been up some of the driveways and you've seen on the people have little notices stuck up, you know. But most of the things you've seen is but no junk mail, no canvases, no door-to-door salesmen. We don't want double glazing, we don't want this, we don't want that. All them sorts of signs. But one sign that perhaps you don't necessarily see it on houses, but you certainly see it around fields and farm holdings, is the sign that trespassers will be prosecuted. Or as I saw, I think it was one morning, not quite sure when it was, I saw it one morning on one of the houses, trespassers will be composted. She had a lovely garden. This woman had a lovely, beautiful garden. It was obviously a thing to do with the garden there. Trespassers will be composted. Now, trespassers will be prosecuted. You know, Satan is a trespasser in the earth. He has no legal right to function here. And the only way he can function is within the parameters that we allow him to. Adam surrendered his authority to the serpent, to Satan. You know, whenever we surrender authority to the devil, he takes it. And he doesn't just take it, he makes it great inroads into our life. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4 verse 27, this is from the Amplified Version, it says, "Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." See, what should have happened in the Garden of Eden is Adam and Eve should not have allowed any opportunity for the serpent. What they should have done is when he showed up and began to spin his lies and his deceit, and they should have kicked him out of the garden. They should have told him to get out of their garden because they had the authority, they had the dominion in that place. But what they actually did was they listened, they took note of what he said, and surrendered to him. Now he's got their authority, their permission, if you like, to act. Now he can function legally in the earth. And because of that, sin, death, the curse, everything associated with the fall came in. And now Satan was king in the earth. Now Satan, you remember the scripture talks about him in the New Testament, calls him the prince of the power of the air. You know, he was prince, he's king. So what was needed now was for somebody to come and take that authority back from him. And now I want to read to you, because you know who that one person is, that's Jesus. I want to read what the scripture says in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Again, it's a well-known scripture, you'll probably know it, and it's quoted quite frequently, particularly as we come to the communion table. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, it says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Then the scripture goes on to tell you that therefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name. You know, God sent Jesus into the world. Now, Jesus couldn't just come. Because like Satan, you know, Satan has no legal right. You might be surprised to know that God doesn't either. Because he gave dominion to man. So what God needed, he needed man to give him authority, man to give him power to come. Man to give him permission, if you like, is a word that we often use. And he spoke through all his prophets. That's why the prophet said, the Messiah is coming. And one after the other said, they pronounced, he's coming. The Messiah's coming. You know, the king is coming. He's coming. He's coming. And then it got to a little girl in Galilee. You know, she heard the word of God came to her and said that, you know, you're going to conceive. And then she gave God the permission, said, let it be to me according to your word. And then as she gave God the permission, the seed was conceived in Mary, and she gave birth to Jesus. Jesus had to come, he had to come as a man. Listen to what it says here. He made himself of no reputation, but he took on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. In order for Jesus to take the crown off Satan's head and put it back on the head of man, Jesus had to come as a man. Why did he have to come as a man? Because he had to defeat Satan as a man. And that's what the scripture tells us. It says that he laid aside his divinity. He made himself of no reputation. He laid that divinity, that deity aside when he came to earth. Because Jesus couldn't operate and function as God, if you like. Because then people would say, well, if you're just doing that, yes, you're doing that as God did. But this was a man that was working in the earth. This was a man that was ministering in the earth. You know, Jesus was no different to you and me when he was on earth. Yes, he was sinless, but he was no different. He had to use faith. He had to operate the gifts of the Spirit. He had to move under the anointing of God. He used the authority that had been given to him. Yes, if Jesus had used his God power, I don't like using that word, but that's the best way to describe it. His divinity is the power of God. That he couldn't have given the authority back to man. If Jesus had used his God power, we wouldn't have been able to attain that Christ-like life. We would say, well, God, you did it as God. How can we just met and live up to that standard? How can we come anywhere near that standard? But because Jesus was a man, and Jesus overcame every temptation as a man, that gives us encouragement that as men and women, we can overcome temptation. If Jesus did it, so can we, because he was a man. Jesus, as a man, resisted the power of Satan. Jesus, as a man, defeated Satan on the cross. Jesus, as a man, went down into the depths of hell and took the keys of death and hell and sin from Satan. And as a man, as one man, Adam, originally surrendered his authority, one man, Jesus, took it back. What did Jesus do with the authority once he got it back from the devil? I'll tell you what he did. He gave it to the church. He gave it to you and me. In the final verses of Matthew 28, it says here, Jesus speaking. Now, don't forget, Matthew 28 is spoken after the cross, after the resurrection, after Jesus has appeared to his disciples. These are his final words before going back to his Father in heaven. And he said here, he says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then there's two words in the next verse which he says, go therefore. He goes on to make disciples of all the nations. You know, Jesus declares after the cross that all authority has been given to him. And those words, go therefore, is an impartation of that authority upon his church, upon the disciples. He says, I've got the authority, I've won it back legally. I came as a man, I died as a man, and overcame Satan as a man. And he says, go and preach, go and teach, go and heal, go and make disciples. Go in that authority that I've got. In actual fact, in Luke 10, we read very similar words. In Luke 10, 19, it says this. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you the authority. Jesus clearly gave it back to the church. Now, as the children of God, we live post the cross. You know, we go back to the cross and we can think, well, as we've done this morning, as we gathered, you know, we can thank God for what was achieved at the cross. You know, because of the blood of Jesus, Jesus has restored to his church all the power and authority that we once had, or man once had in the Garden of Eden. You know, complete, now this is actually the Greek definitions of the word authority here. Complete mastery, control, jurisdiction. Mastery, control, and jurisdiction. You know, we have complete mastery, control, and jurisdiction in the earth. Even the most dynamic show of strength that the devil can muster is no ability for the authority in the life of the believer. Now, so we can do what Adam and Eve should have done. We can tell Satan when he comes to jump. You know, his best shot is no match for the power of God that's inside us. Greater is he that is in you, the scripture says, than he that is in the world. But all we've got to remember is authority like righteousness, like salvation, like justification, all these things. It's got nothing to do with merit. It's got nothing to do with what we've done or what we've accomplished or what we've achieved. It's got nothing to do with you and me at all. It's a gift of God. It comes from God. God gave it in the first place. Jesus came and got it back. And now he gives it to us again. It's all centered around what happened at the cross. But we can't really talk about authority, and this I'm finished with these final thoughts. We can't think about authority without tying it in with what we heard last time to do with the Word of God. Because our authority and the Word of God work together. You know, we said it last time, you know, it's no wonder the devil attacks God's Word so much. Because he knows what it can do when it's wielded by a person, a believer, who's operating and standing in the authority that God has invested in him. You know, Jesus came to restore to man the fullness of the Eden blessing. Now over these last, what is now 10 months, we've seen these things that were found in Eden that are being restored back to the church. One, blessing and prosperity. Two, fellowship with God. Three, life. Four, joy. Five, growth. Six, unity. Seven, God's glory. Eight, his goodness. And I was talking about having our needs supplied. Nine, a revelation of the Word of God. And 10, authority and dominion. You know, so if you need to go back to the website and you can download every one of those and just go back and refresh your hearts as to what we've been studying over these last few months about the blessing of Eden. And I believe we're about to see the fullness of God in our fellowship, in our lives. You know, some things have already been manifest. we should thank God that God is doing something in these days, in His church. And there's time now for the church to rise up. Yeah, not just us, but every church. You know, there's a mighty move of God about to come on this nation. And we're going to start to see things happen that we've not seen in many, many years as God restores His fullness to the church. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you thanks. We give you praise this morning. Lord, for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given, Lord, your church authority and dominion. Lord, over all the power. Lord, over all the ability of the enemy. Father, Lord, you said nothing shall by any means hurt us. Lord, we will trample on the serpents, Lord, and on the scorpions. Lord, we will tread them down, Lord. Lord, not because of anything that we have, Lord, Father, because of what you've done for us. Lord, what you achieved at the cross. Father, what was made available because of your precious blood. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, as we ponder, Lord, these, Lord, thoughts over these next few days, Lord. Lord, as we go back and listen to them again and again. Lord, as we take up on the study notes, Father, and read through. Father, we just pray that, Lord, you'll just, Lord, ignite something within us, Lord. Lord, of what you want to restore to us. Father, Lord, that you'll just quicken and energize, Lord, your church. Lord, just move among us in power. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.